for listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
You know, nobody ever invited me to church. To this day, nobody's ever extended an invitation for me to come and hang out with them at their church. I'm 33 years old, and we all live in the buckle of the Bible Belt of the North, Grand Rapids, like New Jerusalem, right? And still think of that. Growing up in a small town just north of here and living here for so many years, no one has ever invited me to come to church with them. You know, I was raised in a small town north of here, but I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, and they lived just west of Sparta. They were on 13 Mile in Kanawha, way out in the country, and we went to church on Sunday when I stayed with them. My mom had custody of me on the weekends, but she was an alcoholic, and I begged to go spend time with my grandparents. Well, they were old school country folk, and we were going to be going to country church, everybody. In fact, I remember one time, it was so funny, I was getting ready, and I was kind of a tween, and I'm experimenting with a new hair gel. Y'all know what it's called, L.A. Looks. You know, I'm taking that stuff, and I'm going, and I had my flip in the front. Y'all remember when that was popular? It's still cool to me, but like, I was so into it. And I remember I came out of the bathroom, and I had my flip, and my grandpa looked at me, and he said, "What's that?" I said, "It's a flip. It's in style." And he says, "Not for church, it's not. Go part your hair on the side." And so I've done it that way ever since. And so, anyway, but what I'm trying to say is that, like, we went to church, and I sat down, and my grandparents, they were funny, you know? I mean, they were real people, you know? My grandparents at night, they'd smoke a corncob pipe. I mean, every once in a while, if Grandpa would hit his thumb with a hammer, there'd be an "oh, hallelujah," you know? And so, like, they were normal people. So we sat at the back of country church, closest to the door, like, if we needed to get out of there, you know what I'm talking about? Like, if stuff got real, and old George Jenkins, he'd be clearing his throat in the middle of the circle, you know, snorting everything. And as soon as the altar call would come, oh boy, he'd go to the back of that church, and he'd close the doors and lock them during the altar call. Holy Moses, King of the Hebrews. So that's like church experience that I had. I wasn't invited. Like, I was dragged along. But when I became 12 years old, back before child labor laws were so tight, I was bagging groceries at the local grocery store in my small town, and I picked up as many hours as I could, especially on Sunday morning, because I didn't want to go there. I was in the youth ministry, and I was the only one. My church was so country, there's 13 of us in Jesus. So they put 14 on a little board that we had in the back that said the attendance and what hymns we were going to sing, the number, and somebody gave $80 in the offering last week. Like, that's my world. And so I wanted to fill that time and not go to church. The closest person to me in age at that church was in their 60s. And so I'm bagging groceries. I'm living my life. And, you know, God's at work in our life even when we kind of just write him off. And I was a senior in high school, or getting ready to be a senior in high school, and I noticed a girl. She was very cute, but she was very pure. She was a girl that would sit with her friends at lunch, but she'd bow her head and she prayed, and I kind of became enamored with her. You know how high school students are. And anyway, I started talking to her, and you know, there's something that's, you know, that we give a label to that now, it's stalking. But I asked her, like, where she went to church and what she was involved in, and she said what church that she went to. And she never invited me to go to that church. But I found out that they had a Saturday night service. It was June 4th, 2004. I was 17 years old, and I followed her to church. I walked in, and I got to tell you, when I walked in that building, it blew me away. See, the church that I grew up in, like Rock of Ages, the hymn was a new song, you know, and we would sing In the Garden, also brand new and a top 10. We did it like every week. We thought drums were of the devil, you know, things like that. This is where I grew up, everyone. I'm just giving you some context of why I'm so conservative in some ways. But I walked into this church, and they had worship similar to what we experienced today, and that blew me away. But one thing I liked about it was I saw the passion when people were worshiping. That's something I never saw. See, I served God because he was right, not because I was in love with him. I didn't want to go to hell. You know what I'm talking about? And so I saw their passion, and then the preacher went out, and he preached a life-giving message. And as I listened and as I experienced these things, I rededicated my life to Christ. Nobody ever invited me to do that. I just did it. And the next week, I was serving. Honestly, I was running the camera back at that church. And I was engaged and I was involved. And one thing led to another, and boom, I'm here. I planted a church 7 years ago. But here's what I'm trying to say. Nobody invited me to church. Makes me think of a scripture passage, and I read this a couple weeks ago. It's out of the book of Isaiah. Let me read this for you. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is a prophet, and he's beginning to pray. And as he's praying, he's in the temple. But all of a sudden, some of the carvings and some of the furniture of the temple that's made to look like an animal or made to look like an angel or things like that, it all begins to come alive. He's not just seeing the actual symbolic carvings. He's seeing the visualization of heaven. And this is what happens in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? God is speaking within himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Who's going to go for us? And then Isaiah pops up. He says, here am I. Send me. Verse 9, and God said, go. Tell these people. What are you saying, Pastor Joe? Isaiah has this moment with God, this experience with God. It's so real to him. And what I found in my life is this, is that when you really experience God, like not for fake, I'm not talking about some Bible study after, I'm talking about a moment with Jesus. When you experience God, it energizes us to go and make a difference. So for me, nobody needed to cheerlead me after that moment that I had inviting myself to church. It was off to the races. I gave up a full-ride scholarship to CMU to pursue being a drum major and a music degree, and I gave up a legacy scholarship to Kendall College where I was going to go be a designer. I gave it up, and it was effortless to do it because this experience with God changed my heart, and so therefore, I had to go follow him. I loaded everything inside my Pontiac Sunfire, went down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, went to Bible school, and ate ramen noodles for about 5 years straight. And that's why I look the way I do. Let's bow our heads and pray. Oh, that's not my story, but that's what I did. And it was no problem. It was effortless because Jesus changed me. I had this moment with him. And similar to my story where nobody invited me, a lot of us in the room, you've come to church today because your parents grew you up with a godly legacy that I didn't have. Or you maybe Googled something and your kids are getting a little bit older, like, oh my gosh, I can't have my kids like not have a relationship with God. I gotta get my act together. Come on, we're going to church. And so you're taking these baby steps. I got you. But I just wonder why we're so afraid to invite people into this thing. Maybe you came into this place because you want Jesus to make you something. Make you better wife or husband, make you a better kid. Maybe you want to be more generous. I want to be a more benevolent person. Or you want to be more spiritual. You want to be a person that really takes it serious this time. I want to actually know what I'm talking about. God, make me more religious. Make me into that. But that's not what Jesus came to make you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. If you have your phone, you can swipe there. I want to read this for you. I want you to really write this down. Mark chapter 1 and verse 17, Jesus said this, follow me, and I'm going to make you something. What's he going to make you? He's going to make you into fishers of men. Fishers of men. People that are able to go out and actually have influence in their world, to make a difference with other people's lives. And we think of that as something that people like me are supposed to do, but honestly, guys, it's the call of all of us. Jesus has died. He rose from the dead, yes, to change your life, but not to just leave you in the spot of being saved and on your way, seat buckled, I'm ready, I'm going to go to heaven when I die, not hell. No, he has a plan for your life, and a big part of it is to be a fisher of men, somebody that has an influence, making a difference in the life of somebody else. Somebody say amen. Now, he's essentially saying here, I want to make you an influence. Write this down. Jesus wants you to make a difference. Jesus wants you to be a person who can make a difference in other people's lives, to have an impact on people. And reaching out to other people with the message of the gospel is huge. You can't get away from it as you read through the Bible. Let me think about this glass of water. And I thank God it's Dasani. If you drink Aquafina, you're wrong, because this is from Coke. And Aquafina is from Pepsi, and we don't drink Poopsie at this church. But anyway, what I'm saying is this Dasani bottle of water can only hold the amount of water that's in it, right? Unless I was to cut off one end and cut off the other. And all of a sudden, there's no limit to how much water can pass through this simple glass. It becomes a conduit instead of a bottle. And that's the call of your life. It's not that God doesn't want to bless you and refresh you with the water of His Word, the washing from His Spirit, the cleansing that He brings. It is for sure for you. It's not just for you, though. He wants to use you as somebody that can bring that refreshing to someone else's life. Say amen, somebody. That's you. That's the call on your life. And for some people, it can seem like such a daunting task, a massive thing. But if you read your Bible cover to cover, it's all a story about God trying to have a relationship with His kids. We read just a second ago from the first part of Mark's gospel. The whole book starts with this concept, but the book of Mark ends with this concept. This is what it says in Mark 16 and verse 15. Jesus said to His followers, "Go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone." And for a lot of us, this scares the fire out of us. How many followers do I have in the house? Just lift your hands. You're loud and proud. Come on, come on. You're a follower of Jesus. It's not just talking to the 12 disciples. It's talking to the disciples, the followers of Jesus. And God's call on your life is to go. Is for sure, come into these four walls, lift your hand, got coffee in one, praising Jesus the other. I love that. But it's not just to stay in these four walls. It's to go outside of this place and make an impact on this world. And the reason why we're held back from so much of that, do you know why? It's because of myths and misconceptions about what it all looks like. I remember in country church, when we would have an evangelist come in, and he'd be wearing, of course, some loud pinstripe suit. Looks like he just bought out Burlington, you know what I'm talking about? And his pants are too long. He's stepping on his cuffs of his pants, you know, and he's screaming. What word is he screaming? He's screaming, repent, right? And we actually started to like him in country church because our preacher was kind of quiet. And my mom said, "Tell me when that evangelist is coming. I want to go there for that." I'd be like, "Why do you like that, Mom?" She's like, "I don't know. I just like it when he yells at me." It's like, okay, you know. So we'd go there, and you know what she'd say? She'd say, "That's hellfire and brimstone." Anybody ever heard that expression? I've graduated from Bible school. I'm halfway through my master's degree. I have no idea what that means. What's hellfire and brimstone? But that's the preaching that you need to repent, or you're going to go to hey, yo, two syllables in hell. What? We're from the north. It's just hell, you know. But that's the message of the evangelist. But that has nothing to do with the person who led you to Christ. Is that the adjectives that you'd use to describe the person that led you to Jesus? Preachy, loud, boisterous, got himself a blow dryer, make his hair as big TBN as possible. You know what I'm talking about, everybody? No. In fact, I think about Cheryl. Cheryl really helped me to find God. And I would say Cheryl was patient and caring and loving and patient and patient, but she was very soft-spoken. She wasn't this big, preachy, showy person. She was a normal Christian who loved God and wanted to welcome other people into that relationship. And if you really think about the person who's really responsible to you having a relationship with God, I bet you anything, they were very patient and loving and kind. It's not that I don't like excited preaching. I mean, look at some of the guests that I have in. We have a riot. But what I'm saying is that doesn't have to be you. You don't have to think of evangelism as though you have to be that way. Somebody say amen. I think that we have the wrong image, guys. I think that we hold on to the image of the loud and showy and bolsters. And that has nothing to do with the evangelism that God wants to use through you, reaching people to Jesus. I've heard Christianity shown this way, that it's two beggars, and one beggar looks at the other beggar and says, "Hey, I know where to get the bread." It's patient, loving. In the context of your character, you can actually be an influence on your world. Acts puts it this way in Acts chapter 1, that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. This is that moment that you encounter God, right? Those moments at the altar call, the moments of worship. I tell you what, I put my earbuds in on the way to work this week, and I was listening to that song that we were worshiping to, talking about amen, you know, and the next generation. What's the name of that song? The Blessing. Great. I do it every week. Lord bless you and keep you. But I'm singing that. I got tears streaming down my face, you know, with earbuds. But think of the moments that you encounter Jesus, and it's just that way. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. In other words, the encounter with God, absolutely, it's powerful. But I've been in services before where I've had goosebumps, and I'm crying, and Jesus touched my life, and I talked to the next person, like, yeah, that was a great service, but they didn't have the feels that I had. You know why? Feelings are subjective. One person gets goosebumps, the other doesn't. It's just different personalities, different ways of relating to God. I got you. But when you encounter God, however you do, it should empower you to go make an impact, make a difference in someone else's life. Like those moments with God, again, yes, he wants to fill your cup, but he wants it to go through you. He wants you to be able to be a blessing to other people. Y'all remember back in the 90s, it was really the beginning of court TV. Do you remember the O.J. Simpson trial? I was forced to watch that. My dad got us cable, and we're watching CNN, and it's the O.J. trial, and every day, we're like keeping up with what happened. Did you hear what happened? We're talking about it. In fact, it was actually the verdict was coming in near Easter of 1994, if I'm correct. And my dad, he'd always make these Easter eggs. And the judge on the trial was Judge Ito, and he made an Ito egg for us. He made a little caricature on the egg. It was Ito egg. He was enamored with it. And I don't know why it was so attractive at the time. Everybody got into it, but my dad really liked it because he had this legal mind about things. And I remember asking questions as a young person, like, what is the deal? Who's that person? He explained that there's a judge, and there's a prosecutor, and that there's a witness, and he's explaining all these different roles. When you think about how a courtroom is set up, and you think about that scripture that we just read, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, right? Like you have this moment with God, you're going to be a witness. That's what you're called to be. The church that I grew up in, I mean, God bless them. I'm thankful for them. But they were the judge of everybody. People come in, and if there wasn't like a sin that we could see, like we were all over that, right? We're judging them. Or on the other end, we might be like a defense attorney. You know, if somebody just mentioned something we didn't believe in, we'd go and try to convince them to the uttermost of that our way's right. And so we're like a defense attorney. Or that prosecutor, we're just calling everybody out. But none of those roles are what God has called you to be. In fact, if you have a special gift of defending the gospel, you're called an apologist. I believe in that. That's wonderful. But truly, the garden variety Christian, most of us in this room, me included, called to be a witness. You know what a witness does? This is what I saw. This is what I heard. It doesn't mean that you have everything perfect in your life and everything's figured out and I'm evangelizing you. None of it. It's you looking at somebody else saying, hey, I know where to get the bread. I was blind, but now I see. I was lame, but now I walk. Or maybe in your words, it's like, hey, we started going to church, and God changed my life. And I'm still screwed up in a lot of areas, but I'm so much better, and I have so much more peace because of Jesus. Does that make sense? That's the call that's on your life. And a lot of people think, Pastor Joe, there's no way that my friends or family or my coworkers, there's no way that they're going to listen to me. Au contraire, my friend, I'm glad you brought that up. There is a Gallup poll that said this, of the 65 million people not attending any church this weekend, this was before COVID, 34 million would if somebody would just ask them. Like, nobody ever asked me, but I distinctly remember a couple of months after being at that church where my life was changed when I was 17, I remember I was serving, and my friends were coming in late for second service, and these people had grown up in this church, and I recognized them from school, and we had hung out a couple times at church, but as they were coming in, just very cavalier, and got their drinks and their coffees, and they're just waving at Jesus with a coffee, you know, and I remember I'm doing camera, and I'm looking at them, and I'm thinking, like, why didn't you think I wouldn't have loved this? Why didn't you welcome me into your awesome church? Why didn't you think that I would love this? And so many people in your life are the same way. And I actually think that Grand Rapids, gang, is even an outlier in all of this. Let me read you something. This is from the state of Michigan census numbers, and the 2020 that I'm going to share is an estimate. I think it's actually going to blow it away. But in 2010, this is 10 years ago, the population of Kent County, okay, 602,983. So 600,000 people, 601, if you will, are in Kent County 10 years ago. In 2013, so 3 years after that, the population in Kent County, and this is the year that New Chapel planted our church, 7 years ago, 622,396. So we're up by like 22,000 plus people in a matter of 3 years. Now check this out. In the last 7 years, so from 2013 until 2020, the population, 662,896. In 10 years, this county has grown by 59,913. Call it 60,000 more people live in this county than did 10 years ago. And that's why I wonder why they don't have more lanes on 131 in Jesus' name. Okay? But just like that's kind of like, why don't they do that? Why don't we reach those people? They're coming here, and some of them might have a Christian background, and they're looking for home. And some of them surely are coming here, and they're either A, religious, or post-Christian, or just in a spot where, like, they don't know. Guys, 60,000 more people? And that is to say that we've evangelized Kent County before all of this. Yeah, the 600,000 people that existed before all of this. Guys, that's what Jesus meant when he said, look unto the field, it is white unto harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send workers. What does that mean? It means that people are ripe, they're ready, their hearts are ready to receive this message. They want this. And I'm going to add this, especially this year. Think about how crazy this year has been. I posted a picture on my Facebook this morning of not just the crazy fires that are happening out west, but a fire tornado. And I got to tell you, it's Jesus coming back, everybody. People want a message of hope and encouragement, and this needs to be the place where they get that message. Somebody say amen. You know, teenagers today are different than even in the 80s. The number one most Googled thing from a teenager. It's not sex. It's not like crazy party stuff. It's not even Lady Gaga, everybody. It's spirituality. Put it this way, Angie, you grew up with the Breakfast Club. Breakfast Club wouldn't even work in this generation unless they were like vampires in the movie, okay? Like, this generation wants something spiritual because they're aware that there's something spiritual and they're aware that they're missing something. And you know what's awesome about this generation? All you old folks just spit at them. But listen, they're looking for something, someone real. The real thing. Isn't it awesome that we have it? Isn't it awesome that we have the answer to so much of their prayers? My belief is that we just need to know how this process works so we can enjoy this process. And can I put it this way? This is your destiny as a Christian. This is what God has called you to do. If you're a follower of Jesus, listen to me, write this down even. Followers fish. You're looking for, it's not that you're just not kind you just be kind for no reason. That's wonderful. But there needs to be a conspiracy of kindness. Like always, you're ready to talk to people about Jesus. Always, you're ready to be able to give an answer for the hope that God's given you. And the first thing I believe that's on God's mind is his lost kids. Even as I preach this today, I've felt this even while I was getting this ready this week, that people get a little antsy about this. And like, Pastor Joe, why can't you preach something for me? Why can't you preach something deep? And typically what people mean when they want something deep is they want something confusing. And I could confuse you, but when somebody's drowning, they don't need the Greek word for life raft. They just need a life raft. They don't need a hand out. They need a hand up. They need somebody to say, hey, I don't have it all figured out, but I've got one thing I do. And that is the call of all of us on our lives. I would encourage you, if you're this place in your life, listen, Pastor Joe, I know about evangelism. Evangelism, the topic you might know about, are you living it? You want deep? Don't just know the Bible, live it. Live what it says. You want to know one of the most deep things in the Bible, but it's so simple? Love your enemies. That's a very simple thing in the Bible. Very simple. Very deep. Why? It's hard to do. Live this thing out. 2 Timothy, Paul writes it this way. He says, preach the word of God. Now, pause for a second. When I read that, some of you guys even hear it or read it. Preach the word of God. It's not what it's saying. It's talking to normal people just like you. It's talking about, hey, just talk about it. Preach the word of God. Be prepared. Whether the time is favorable or not, we'll talk about that in a second. I love this. Work at telling others the good news. It tells me that it's going to take work. It's going to take practice. You're not going to be good at it when you first begin to do it. And the Bible's telling you that that's okay. Work at telling others the good news. And fully, check this out. This is crazy. People don't think of Christianity this way. This is you. Carry out the ministry that God has given you. Every once in a while, people will come in to my office and say, Pastor, can you help me? I'm trying to figure out my calling in life. And hey, have you invited anybody to church? Well, no, but I feel called into ministry. And you know, that invite somebody. It's your calling. It's right there, black and white. Carry out the ministry God has given you. You have a ministry already, every single one of us. And this is what we're called to do. So here's what I want to do. I believe that that's the theology. That's the stuff that, like, hey, we believe it. I want to give you four practical things that you can actually get a stride with this and begin to work out this practice of talking to other people about Jesus and inviting them into your world with Jesus. So first one is this. Write this down. Let's be aware of others. Write that down. Aware. Put it this way. Open your eyes. Okay? You live in a bubble. Not just Western Michigan, anywhere in the United States, we're doing our own thing. Why? We got a lot going on. We got to pick up kids. We got to go get groceries. We got to go and get stuff done. And my gosh, we got to go home and have some relaxation. So go, 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 go. And what happens is you blaze past people at Myers, and you blaze people past people when you're at the Target, and you blaze past people in your car, and you're just doing your own thing. You're in your own bubble. You've got your people and your kids and your extended family, and that's enough, and you're just trying to live your life. Be aware. Open your eyes to the fact that other people are around you. I have a unique perspective on this as a pastor, and let me tell you what I mean. People put their church face on when they're around me. It's like, how you doing? I'm doing great, Pastor. Praise God. Their life's falling apart during the week, you know. I've done that, I'm going to say, in the last 2 weeks. I've talked to somebody on Sunday morning. How are you doing? I'm actually asking because I love them, right? Awesome. Praise God. Blessed, highly favored. Walking in divine health. I'm blessed going in, blessed coming out. And his favor. You know, I mean, like, Monday, they were in my office with a domestic abuse problem. Can you open up your eyes and not just see people, but see them? Some of the most well-put-together people that you'll encounter really need some friendship, really need some love. They really need what we have. It's the message of faith, guys. Romans chapter 10, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And again, people are like, right, Pastor Joe, you are a preacher. Listen, I'm pastor. I get it. I'm coach. I'm going to come in and rah-rah, and this is what we're going to do. But I'm not the preacher here. You are. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4 makes it very clear that Jesus gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? Why did God put leadership in the church over your life? I'm going to tell you why. To equip you for the work of the ministry. Put it this way, you're the minister. I'm not the minister. I'm a minister because I'm a Christian. You're a minister with me. We are all ministers to people, to love on people, and share the freedom you have. Don't put on that you've got everything together if you don't. Share the freedom that God has given you. I'll tell you, that's quite enough for some of you. That's a huge step for many of us in the room, loving on people that are far from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says that we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Like, I would love it if next week I could invite in a guest speaker. Here he is from Nazareth. It's Jesus Christ. He gets up here, beard, robes, preaches. I'm going to tell you, everybody's going to get born again. You know, I mean, that's power. Hey, Jesus, can we put your hand to your side? Yeah, go ahead and do it. Watch this. Transfigured. You know, I mean, like, what? but he doesn't do it. The Bible says that he's committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. It's the Christian's responsibility to reconcile people to him. He won't do it. If he would do it, why not just hover over the face of Africa and preach himself so everybody can get saved? He won't do it. His work is finished on the cross, right? The finished work of the cross. And so he gives us his spirit inside of us. And when we have that experience with him, it empowers us to go make a difference in this world. Does that make sense? And so now it's you, in the context of your personality, in the context of your character, to go into your world as accountants and marketing people and on the railroad and everywhere that you go, being in the context of who you are, loving on people and showing them that there's a better way, that God has a way through all of it. Wow. It's not directly, it's through us. And the Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. If there's any hope of us wrapping this thing up, it's in you, making an appeal. I want you to be aware of how this works. We're not called to be their Savior, and I think we know that, but we are called to help them move toward God. And Paul really defined what this is in 1 Corinthians 3. This is what he says. He's showing us process here. I want you to see this. He says, my work was to plant. So you think of the Apostle Paul, big deal, right? He just planted with this group of people in the church of Corinth. He just planted. But Apollos, that's another guy, he was named after some Greek god, but he got born again. He watered the seed that Paul planted. In other words, Paul might have been like, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you what he did in my life. Apollos is coming by. He's answering questions. He's preaching and proclaiming Jesus, right? And then it's this very interesting passage. It says, but it was God, not we, who made the garden grow in your hearts. Some of you might just be planting, some of you might be watering, and God's going to do his thing through that process to move them closer to Jesus. And there is a defined progression towards Jesus. And I want to show you this very quickly today. At the end of it, I'll tell you when the end of it is. You want to get your phone out and snap a picture of this. It's pretty cool. This whole scale, I'm going to start this at -6 for this reason. Because 0 on the scale is when you find Jesus. But -6 is very simple. It's when somebody is resistant in their heart towards God. This is the person that really, like, I don't want to hear about any of that. I'm not religious, right? Resistant. And there's actually a reason why they're like that. It's typically because of hurts in their past and fears about what would happen if they actually took a step towards God. My big fear was that I was never going to have fun again. I thought Christians were the most boring people in the whole world. Casper Milky Toast. I pictured them getting a vanilla ice cream cone because, like, Superman was too spicy, you know? Malto meal, like drinking it at the gym. I don't know. Like, just, I thought I was never going to have fun. That was my fear. What I found was this. Kai and I last night, we were laughing so hard, you would have thought we were drinking all day. We were laughing so hard. That's why we have all these kids. Anyway, -5. This is when there is some reception to it. They're going to listen to you a little bit. This is when they begin to open up. Next step, -4, this is seeking. I see a lot of people get into the spot. This is where America is at right now. They're like, okay, there's more to this. There's more going on than what is just visible here. There's something spiritual. So they're seeking for answers, they're seeking hope, they're seeking something to encourage them, they're seeking for something that's more than this world, if this is what the world's going to be like. Wow. -3 is when they're considering. This is the question of, what could my life be like if? Okay? -2, understanding. This is where they realize that God isn't looking for religious people. He's looking for relationship. That's huge. -1, this is ready. And by the way, this is the 40,500 people that are in Grand Rapids right now, in Kent County right now. They're ready. They're waiting for an invite. They're waiting to know more. They're waiting for a next step. -0, this is when somebody has new life in Jesus. They're born again. They accept Christ, and they're brand new. And my church that I grew up in, Rusty Nail Baptist Church, like, it was get saved and hold on until you die, okay? That was it. It was like new life, get baptized, act right. Maybe that was -3, okay? Like, that's all that we knew. But there's more. +1, belonging. This is where you find your next steps in the church. That's why we're talking about New Chapel Connect all the time. This is where you actually find a church home to belong to. This is where you find a small group community to be with. +2, This is where you are growing. You're taking New Chapel Connect. You're taking next steps. You're discovering your gifts and talents, the purpose that God put in your heart, the discovery phase, right? Plus three, serving. This is where people are actually reinvesting, right? They're serving your kids right now. They welcomed you as you came in today. People that are serving, plus three, plus four, the last one I'm going to share, there is more. This is where people are sharing. And this is where people are sharing, hey, your next step might be this. This is the journey that I'm on. Your next step might be this. They're talking to people about God. They're talking to the people at negative six. Go ahead and snap a picture of that. You're going to want that. It's pretty cool. It's a way to understand where people are. And when you're talking to people at work or in your family, you can feel where they're at on that progression. And what do? You don't get bent out of shape if you talk to them about Jesus and they don't get saved that minute. Get a life, okay? What you have to realize is you might be planting the seed, or you might be watering a little bit. Sometimes they might go from negative six to zero in one conversation, and often they don't. You can't hate yourself for that. When Kai and I were living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we attended Bible school down there, and then we worked at a church. And anyway, they have this cool statue at the center of town, and they named it. They named it the center of the universe. It's pretty lame, but if you want people to go check something out, name it the center of the universe. So we were down there checking out the center of the universe and having fun, and it kind of sits up high over the road, and we watched this car accident, and there's a whole bunch of people around us. We're like, oh my gosh, you know, we're trying to like relay back what happened. Of course, nobody was hurt, but we ended up making friends, Kai and I, with these two teenagers, and we were young 20-somethings at the time. And one guy was named Jesse, and he was your garden variety pothead. And then there was Heidi, and she was your valley girl cheerleader type. And we made friends with them, ended up hanging out with them like pretty late into the night. And it eventually came up with like, hey, what do you do? And like, oh, we're pastors. They were blown away. By the way, you can enjoy people that are far from God. You can enjoy people when they're not perfect. Because newsflash, everybody, you ain't perfect either. That's bad English, that's good preaching. And we enjoyed them and laughed at some of the, I mean, when you're doing that one Cuban lettuce thing, you say some crazy stuff, everybody. And so we were just having fun with him. I didn't condone it, for sure. But at the same time, I wanted to be there with him. So we made relationship with him. We trekked with him. And eventually, I'm like, man, I want to win these people to Jesus. So we invited them to the youth group that we were part of and tried to take ground. Well, eventually, we left and we became youth pastors ourselves. I'd like to say that there's an end to the story, like, and they got saved, and I water baptized them, and tears were streaming. It didn't happen yet. We planted a seed. We watered it a little bit, and God is big enough to continue watering it. Eventually, my prayer is that they walk that aisle, say that prayer, get baptized, and experience the relationship with God. But I've realized that I'm not God, so I don't have to bring them all the way through if that's not natural. Does that make sense? Don't force something that's not there. You might do damage wherein they're open. Plant the seed. And in a couple years, you might see that thing come to fruition. I'm not saying it has to take a long time. A lot of time it doesn't. A lot of time it does. And it's okay. Say amen, somebody. Number two, I got to move on. Let's commit to pray for others. Really pray for other people. Now, last week I talked about a 10 a.m. prayer. So if you didn't do this, take out your phone, set an alarm right now while I'm preaching. Take out your phone, set an alarm for 10 a.m. that can go off, and it just reminds you to pray. By the way, it's 10:07. New Chapel people are on their way to church right now, and they're like saying that prayer because their alarm went off. Kaya's alarm went off. And so you can do it 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. Kaya didn't hear the a.m. part, so we're praying at 10 p.m. in the evening, sometimes waking up to pray. But we started praying this week with everybody, and I got to tell you, don't stop. Now that you started something, don't stop. And don't make it religious or anything, but like, seriously, for like a minute or less, pray to God at 10 o'clock. Pray, God, reach the people that I go to work with. Help me to be an influence on them so I can share with them this message. Help me have an in, God, with my family. One of the best ways that I found to be able to have an influence on people is to pray the scriptures over them. I'm going to read off some concepts of prayers, but I'll give you the scripture address. Jot these down. These are great to pray over people. Pray that the Father would draw them to Jesus. That's John 6, verse 44. Pray against the spirit that blinds their minds. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Pray that they would come to know God, but not just know God, know about him, know God relationally. It's Romans 8:15. Pray that believers will cross their paths and enter into positive relationships with them. That's Matthew 9, talking about the harvest, Matthew 9, 38. In fact, I would just even add to that, pray that all the weird Christians stay home that day. All the people that are weirdos, stay home. Go watch TBN. They got a special. And that cool people, cool Christians, can go talk to them. Pray for a revelation of who Jesus is and what he has done for them. That's Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. And some of you right now, you're getting this concept of nothing gets done without prayer. So take a step of prayer this week as you pray for people that are far from God. How about this one? Here's a crazy one. Lord, inconvenience my world, my plans, my schedule with somebody else that's hurting. And you watch, God will accommodate you this week. I promise you. And some of you almost should pray that just because you're like, oh, yeah, I don't know if that other stuff's going to work. Feels kind of subjective. You do this one, you're going to see God inconvenience you this week. You start believing in the power of prayer. You set that alarm so quick, make your head spin. Number three, I got to move on. Number three, write this down. Let's show people that we care. Several years ago, we were a mobile church. We set up and tore down in a movie theater and in a school. And we got to the spot where we were actually beginning to do this building, and we had a campaign to raise capital to do it. And part of that was that people, we had these little stakes that looked like stakes that you'd pound in a tent with. And we had people go and pledge, and when they did that, they got a stake, and they wrote people's names on it that they were praying for. Well, recently, I was cleaning out our closet, which is like something out of the movie Labyrinth, I don't know. And we're cleaning it out, and I found this stake that Kaya had made on that service that we were beginning to pledge for this capital campaign. And on that stake was the name of some people that are in our family that she's been believing God for. And as I read that, I was like, wow. A couple years ago, I read that, and I was like, yeesh, God can do miracles. But now I read that stake, and I'm like, wow, that person, he's not where we want him, lifting his hands Sunday morning, praying in the Holy Ghost, but he's so much closer to God than he's ever been, and he's just ready for a tipping point. You know, those stakes that people pledged to be able to get into this building have names all over it, and they're actually in the walls of this room. They're in the walls. Prayers for people that are far from God. And we've had people accept Christ in this room that were right next to the wall that their name was written on. I'm telling you guys, the power of prayer works, but we need to show people that they care. So it wasn't just the stake that had magical power. Like, I'm not that guy that's like, hey, call in your prayer request and I'll send you a vial of miracle prayer water from the Grand River. That's not what I'm saying. Because along with that stake, my wife took a big interest in this person's life. And showed this person that she cared and invested in this person. And so it's both the spiritual and the practical things. It's the natural and the supernatural working together that brought this person this far. In fact, write this down. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. You need to tweet that, share it on Facebook. You need to tattoo that on your forehead if you're a loud person, that like a little condemning, you know. Be a witness. Care for people. Love on people. That old song, smile on a brother. You know what I'm talking about? You need to show people that you actually care about them, not about getting another notch in your belt of person that you got to say that prayer. And that's why we do the things that we do at New Chapel and the way that we do them. We want to create a church and an atmosphere of people that are accepting and they can come in here and feel included on day one. They can feel the care that we have. You know, it wasn't too long ago, I actually went to a funeral at a denomination that I really wasn't familiar with, and I felt like such an outsider when I was there. I mean, it's like stand up, sit down, time to kneel, back up, go up front, now we're back. And we're doing like holy aerobics the whole time, and I'm doing it looking like me, you know, and you could see everybody, and I'm trying to like, I wasn't making fun of anything, I'm trying to do it. And you could feel the fact that it's like, you didn't do our special class, you don't know. You know, and I could feel it. It was in their eyes. That's why the Bible says don't look at their faces. I want a church that you don't have to be an insider at. You can come into this place just as you are and feel accepted and feel the power and presence of God in your life. Say amen, New Chapel. Is that the church you want to be at, New Chapel? Say amen. That's the heart of this house. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, though I'm free and I belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. I become all things to all men that by all means, all possible means I might save some. I want to live like this. And so there's awareness, there's prayer, there's care. And then number four, write this down. Let's be willing to share. Share what, Pastor Joe? Share Jesus? Sure. Like it might be time for you to pray with that person that you're a cubicle mate with or you sit next to at school or that's in your family. Like that might be time. Like, what must I do to be saved? Perfect. Let's pray. And that happens. But you know something very easy that you can share that is very disarming too is share a seat with them. Hey, I'll save a seat for you at New Chapel. I'm going to come pick you up. Because you can do something I can't do, and I can do something you might not feel comfortable doing. You might be like, I can't like lead somebody to Jesus. Like, I want you to build up to that spot, but if you feel like you can't do it, or maybe it's not right to do it in that moment, you can invite your friends and family in. But I can do something that you might not feel comfortable doing, and that's every week give a relational and life-giving message that at the end I say heads bowed, eyes closed, and people give an opportunity to pray a prayer. I tell you what, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Every time I do that, if you bring a visitor, I give you permission to peek. Because they get born again at New Chapel, they say that prayer, it's your favorite day at church. You know what one of my favorite days at church was? 7 years ago, our first Easter, my sister came and spontaneously decided she was going to get baptized. I baptized my sister at the plaza of the mall, at Woodland Mall, in between Celebration Cinema and Red Robin. In some horse trough, I baptized my sister. Paul Blart, the mall cop, was upset at us. We weren't supposed to be there. It's my favorite day at church. And it will be yours when you begin to take the baby steps in this process. Come sit with me. 1 Peter chapter 3, always be prepared to give an answer for everyone who asks, to give a reason for the hope that you have. Are you ready to do that? Can you actually talk about what God has done in your life and not take 5 hours of their time, you know? Can you say it in 30 seconds? Can you say it in 30 minutes? I mean, can you talk with people about it? My belief is this, that today God is speaking to all of us. In fact, my question is, who is Jesus talking to you about right now? I feel like there's a name. I feel like there's a face that you're seeing. I feel like you're being pulled towards somebody. They're like, oh my gosh, I know. And God's doing it. I don't even have to butter the biscuit, everybody. You know exactly what I'm talking about right now. That's what God's giving you. See how it's not pushy. It's not condemning. It's not, hurry up, they're going to go to hell. It's there's the person. You know how to do it. Go talk to them. Go share your life with them. Acts 20, verse 24. The most important thing is that I complete my mission. The work that the Lord Jesus gave me. What did he give us, Christians? To tell people the good news about God's grace. I love that word, grace. To just be open about what God's done in your life. To this day, no one's invited me to church. Senior pastored in the city for 7 years. I've been around the block and nobody has reached out to invite me. I feel like we're intimidated by nothing. And I also can see a world that is ripe. They want this message. And guys, Western Michigan and the bubble that it lives in, let's pop it at New Chapel. Let's make an investment. Next week is our 7th birthday. We're going to have fun. It's going to be a party. I'm going to figure out some way in Jesus' name that you feel safe eating cake. And we're going to have a great Sunday. Great week to invite people in. As we go into this fall where so many sports were canceled or people aren't sending their kids to sports because of the boogeyman and so many things have been shut down and taken from us, there's people that have a ton of spare time on their hands and they're just looking for somebody that cares out there. Their rhythm of their life has been interrupted. How can you make an influence on their life? My prayer is that you go outside of your comfort zone. My prayer is that the God that intercepted your life, that experience that you had with him, that it would make you moved enough in this team church that you would pray the same prayer that Isaiah prayed. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Heads bowed, eyes closed in the presence of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this message. I thank you that you're speaking to people's hearts right now. Lord, I want you to bubble up. You're doing it right now. The face, the name of those people. God, I pray that these people would be bold to take next steps and invest in people that are far from God in their life. Make an investment. Lord, I thank you that you help them to work out this process, how they can do it in the context of who they are. God, I pray that you do your thing in the life of our church, that a whole city that's ready for a message of hope can receive it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you came into my auditorium today and you don't know God, you're not so far away from him. In fact, he's very close to you. The moment that you surrender everything to him, you'll experience new life. You'll avoid a Christless hell and have an eternity in heaven when you die. But eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts the moment that you accept Christ. You can do it with us right now. We're going to say a prayer out loud. Christians are going to say it as a declaration of their faith. I want you to say it. If it's for the first time, this is your moment for new life. Pray this out loud with me. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place for my sins so I can be forgiven. You raised him from the dead. This I believe. So with my heart and with these words, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. I surrender now. Jesus, I call on you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Put your spirit within me. I receive all that you have for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give it up for those people that accepted Christ in this place? Louder than that, New Chapel. Come on, somebody. Hey, stand up on your feet. Next week, everybody say next week. Next week, New Chapel is turning 7 years old. I'm excited about it. Yeah, give God praise for 7 awesome years. And listen, bring somebody with you. It's a plus one weekend for sure. We've got family that we're going to be bringing in. I think you're going to be surprised with who'd be willing to share your seat at church. I want to pray for you, but I also want to remind you, if you have any prayer needs, you can go to newchapel.com at the very top or bottom, that connect with us. That's where you can also give us your prayer requests. It's also at newchapel.com/prayer. If you're ready to join the team here at New Chapel, simple way to do it, newchapel.com/team. We're pretty snappy in that way, everybody. And so you can go to the website, fill out the connection card, join a team, serve people on a Sunday morning. You watch what God does in your life. I can't wait for next week, but before then, would you lift your hands for the blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Give the peace that passes all understanding. And may God give you an open door into someone else's life this week in Jesus' name. And everybody said, and as you go, you're dismissed.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.